Well, if you were here last week, you know we are going through the chapter on the heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning, we are walking with God. That's an interesting thought, and as I say that, you probably have thoughts in your own mind of what that looks like. I jumped into Genesis before I started this, and I saw that Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. And when Seth was 105 years old, Enosh was born. And when Enosh was 90 years old, Canaan was born. And when he was 70, Mahalalel was born. And when Mahalalel was 65 years old, Jared was born, which was Enoch's father. And so when Jared was 162 years old, he begot Enoch. Now, if you add all those up, you find out that Enoch was born 622 years after Adam was created. So if you're not already over to Hebrews chapter 11, go there. And today we're going to start reading, and we're not going to get very far, but verse 5. And verse 5 in God's Word says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, some translations say Enoch was translated. And I like that, because this verse I read is the character and the translation of Enoch. And Scripture, not I, Scripture told us by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. There was another person that didn't see death, but we're not going there. It's significant, I think, that the story of Enoch follows the story of Abel. The one was crushed to the earth by the hand of a brutal murderer. The other was elevated to heaven. The one will probably be the longest tenant in the grave. And the other entirely escapes it, no grave. He's the first to possess the happiness of perfect, immortal humanity. He's the first one. You've got to read those scriptures and understand them to find that out. Now, there's something very instructive in these two characters being side by side on the pages of testimony. We read, before Enoch was taken, he had a testimony. It said he pleased God. I love that, because what a blessed thing that it is possible that us puny humans can please God. We know we grieve Him by our many sins. So it's encouraging that we may live so as to give God pleasure. To please God implies three things. I think I numbered them, but if I didn't, I'll try to. The first one is a revelation of His will. We have to know what God's will is. If I have something that has to be done at my house, and I have sons and daughters still living under me in my house, and they know my will that that has to be done, and they do it, I'm pleased. Enoch did not have the sacred scriptures. He didn't have anything. There was nothing written then. His understanding of God was small and maybe a little bit dim compared to what we have. Look at all the scriptures we have. And you can probably read through all the scriptures more than once in a year. And so you have a vast knowledge and understanding of the will of God. But evidently, Enoch believed in the existence of the Supreme Being. He was convinced that He is. And he knew something of God's holy will. What about us? Think, what about us? We live in the clear and the full light of divine revelation because God has spoken to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. So we know. That word know means you know, you understand it. Without any uncertainty, what to do and what not to do. If we want to please God. The second thing is a personal harmony with God. It's the moral separation that sin causes between the soul and God. That was removed from Enoch. Enoch walked with God. God. Now let your mind wander. I walk with my wife and we hold hands walking down the driveway and all my neighbors see us. Did Enoch walk side by side, maybe holding hands with God, literally, physically? Or does it imply that Enoch's spirit was akin to God's spirit and they walked beside each other in thought, word, and deed? I don't have that answer. But Enoch walked with God. We're supposed to walk with in the spirit, right? Are you walking, holding hand in hand with the Spirit? Maybe some days you are. You can feel. The Spirit's a person. It's not an it. So the will of God must have appeared to Enoch as not being harsh, but it was reasonable and it was gracious. Otherwise, his life could not have been brought into a condition of pleasing God. So as a first step toward pleasing God, we have to heartily receive the reconciliation that God offers to us in Jesus Christ. And the third thing is we have to have a sincere effort to do His will. As children of human parents, we need that sincere effort to take the trash out because we know that pleases our parents. Well, if we, with all this scripture, know what God wants us to do and know what God does not want us to do, should we not do it? To know and agree with God's will without a continuous effort to conform to it, that's not pleasing to God. Enoch expressed his convictions into actions. So many people, I love God. Do your actions show you love God? Everyone who wants to please God must take their convictions and convert them into actions. Oh, I should have wrote that scripture down. It just came to me now. Something to the effect of, happy are you if you know these things, that you do them. And Jesus was talking to his disciples then, right after washing their feet. So it was by faith that Enoch pleased God, which turned around the other way, says he walked by faith and not by sight. Our Lord Jesus, he is presenting to us the supreme, perfect example of pleasing God. When in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Christ's joy was doing the will of the Father. And twice in Scripture, the Father testified of him from heaven, right out of heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Voice right out of heaven. It was expressed at his baptism, and it was expressed in the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, Jesus is also the reconciler of man to God. He gives power to the faint and to those people that have no strength at all. He increases their strength that they may please God in their lives. So may we trust him. May we accept him. May we imitate him. But there's something else we have to look at before we go any further on. Exactly how was Enoch removed from the earth? He didn't pass from earth the way all other people did. He entered heaven without passing through the gates of death. He didn't die. And they couldn't find him. And we know that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, flesh and blood can't get. You must be born again of the Spirit. So Enoch's body must have undergone a great change, a physical change. And the change was probably exactly like or similar to what's going to happen to everybody who's alive on this earth when Christ comes again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means death, sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So whatever properties or characteristics the spiritual body has, I don't know. But the body of Enoch must have been spiritualized by God. So changed was his body. It didn't fit on earth anymore. His body, as well as his spirit, rose heavenward, completely refined and purified by God, which made him capable to go into the glory of heaven. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. Now in 1 Thessalonians for a second, 4, it talks about the same thing. The Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel. And with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall always be with the Lord. What does that sound like to you? Well, you could say the rapture. You could also say it sounds like what happened to Enoch. One moment, we are here. The next moment, we are gone. Well, one moment, Enoch was here. And the next moment, he was gone. I see that as a picture type of Enoch in the rapture. And then we have verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think spiritually. The approach of our soul to God is essential to pleasing him. Now, having learned that apart from faith, man cannot please God, the scriptures proceed to show us that he who comes to God must believe. You got to believe that he is. We cannot please God without coming to him. And coming to God implies a distance away from God. You don't come to something if you're already there. So it implies that you're not there yet. It's like the unrenewed soul is far from God by sin, which is just like the prodigal son. The sinner wanders away from the gracious father into a far country. And the expression in the end of verse 6, those who seek him, that also suggests that the seekers are not conscious of him. They do not realize his nearness to them, or they wouldn't be seeking after him. Now, this implied distance I'm talking about, it is not material. It's moral. So the coming to him is not physical. It's spiritual. It is the soul drawing near to him in thought and desire, in affection and devotion. And this approach of the soul to God is pleasing to him. His fatherly heart yearns the love of his children. And he welcomes the first approach of the penitent sinner to him, just like the father of the prodigal son. When he saw him, he was a good ways off. And it says he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. A father in heaven is pleased when his children, us, regard him with warm affection and confidence. And we come to him, Lord, I have need. We come to him with our necessaries. We come to him in our sorrows. We also come to him in our joys. So as we wind down this little excerpt on Enoch, we come to a conclusion. The exercise of faith in God is essential to our approach to God. Exercise of faith, not just having it. I was watching a series, The Chosen. And I happened to watch one last night in which it was the woman that was bleeding for 12 years. And she had the faith that she didn't have to have Jesus touch her. All I have to do, she said, was just touch the hem of his garment even. Just a little bit and I'll be healed. Now, if she sat in her room or wherever she was for the next 12 years and kept that thought in her mind, it would have done nothing for her. But as the show went on, she exercised that faith and she blew through the crowd and just grabbed the tassels on his robe for a second before she fell down. She was healed. It is essential that we exercise our faith. We have exercised the faith in his being, that you believe that he is. We must believe that he is. The Bible says that he is. The universe all around us witnesses to that same truth. Our human conscience confirms that testimony. So we believe that he is. We have to also believe he will reward those who earnestly seek him, which implies that we may approach him. You can't approach the president. You can approach God Almighty. Our prayers reach his ears, every single one of them. He hears our sighs and he hears our sorrows and he hears our tidings of happiness. He knows the desires of our heart, whether we speak them or whether they're not spoken at all. And so he not only hears our prayers, he answers them. He is a rewarder of them that seek him. but the seeker must be diligent, must be earnest. Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and find me, God says, when you search for me with all your heart. Not a little bit of it, all your heart. So our prayers must be fervent and persevering if we want God to hear them. James 5:16. You can quote it by heart. When prayer mounts upon the wings of passion to God, that's the fervency, passion, then his answers will come down like lightning from God. And so we know for sure, absolutely, positively, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Lord, give us that faith and strengthen our faith, increase our faith, that we would be just like the women with the issue of blood, that we would know for sure that all we need is come close to you and just touch the hem of your garment. We know you hear our prayers, and we know you are the rewarder of those that seek you. And so we know you will answer us. May we be as servants to a master on earth, knowing that you, our master, will never abandon us. Pray, believing, and you receive what you ask for. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen.